So my title is On the Move, Displacement of Traditional Birth Systems from the Home to the Hospital in Greater Accra, Ghana. And this is part of results that came from a study that I did during my master's. The other people who participated are listed. I have no financial disclosures. Typical presentation, and these learning objectives are unchanged from initially posted. So we're going to be talking about birth, and I thought it'd be good to start kind of with a quick overview of birth in the developed world. Before the 1950s, this typically happened in the home and assisted by midwives. But what happened in the 1950s is that we had the growth of the medical obstetrical field, and birth became a diagnosis that's to be dealt with in the hospital and taken care of by doctors and nurses. So we see a movement of birth from the home to the hospital. And in 1969, in the US, 99% of all births occurred in the hospital, and that's still the good percentage for these days. We're going to be talking about Ghana. So Ghana is in West Africa. This work was done in Greater Accra, which is the city down on the coast in the capital. And 46% of national births occurred in health facilities in Ghana nationally. You see much higher rates in the capital, Accra. It's almost 80%. This is Cape Coast. So what are birth traditions in Ghana? How do they differ? For the most part, birth is considered an important rite of passage for women. There's a very key role of the elder females within the community and during the prenatal period, especially birth. Their traditions are passed down orally from the elder females to the daughter. And like I said, birth occurs at the home, either with assistance from family females or a female from the community who's trained and experienced in delivery. So I think it's important, you know, I say the home, this is actually a really important concept in Ghana. The home is much more than just the walls and roof. It is the physical space of residence, but it's much bigger than that, has a much larger connotation. This actually ended up being pretty important for this study. You have multiple generations of people who live within this kind of familial complex, and it makes sure that everyone's ties with the elders and also with tradition ancestors are kept. But recently, there definitely has been kind of erosion of this as we're seeing more rural to urban migration. So maternal mortality, and in 2008, this data is not quite as good as Dr. Wang's. Went into this much more, but developed nations, 14 for 100,000 live births, in sub-Saharan Africa, 640. Ghana's doing pretty well, 350 per 100,000 live births. Millennium Development Goal number 5 aims to decrease the MMR by 2015 by 3/4. It's almost 2011. It's not going very well. Ghana, though, has had some successes. And since 1990, they've decreased their maternal mortality rate by 44%. So by the WHO standards, they are, quote, making progress. So determinants of maternal mortality, for the most part, these are all well documented. The direct medical determinant is responsible for about 80% of maternal deaths. Other ones are socioeconomic, cultural beliefs, individual, that's gonna be individual health status, reproductive status, healthcare usage, structural, where are the facilities located, what's the transportation like to get there, and political, what's the political will and pressure to improve maternal mortality. Now, most places, in order to tackle maternal mortality, have used the three delays conceptual framework, which breaks down or links mortality with three specific delays, which then can be linked with their death. The first delay is a delay in deciding to seek care. Delay number 2 is a delay in actually reaching an adequate healthcare facility. And delay number 3 is delay in actually receiving the adequate care at the facility. Now, I mention this because many countries organizations have used this framework to kind of tackle maternal mortality issues, and the Ghana Ministry of Health is one of those. So in the 1990s, they enacted a number of changes that they hoped would help decrease maternal mortality. And some of the main changes are listed here. They decided to train more midwives to work in the hospital and within the communities. They wanted to promote health benefits of delivering in the clinics and the hospitals. They require antenatal education classes for all pregnant women. And they also made deliveries in the hospital or clinic. They say no fee, but there ends up being some cost, but it's pretty minimal. So like I said, this came out of a larger study. I just wanted to kind of review the study. The large study itself, it was a qualitative study consisting of interviews and participant observation. There were three study sites for the fieldwork: Lister Hospital Fertility Center, very private, Mana Mission District Hospital, not as private but not public, and the police hospital. We also did participant observation at Macola Market and during the antenatal education classes at each site that we attended. We did 25 key informer interviews, a focus group of 6 active midwives in Greater Accra, and 34 semi-structured in-depth interviews. This was a good breakdown between postpartum and prenatal women at each of the sites. We collected demographic information from the focus group participants and the semi-structured interview participants. Interviews were transcribed and then analyzed via template analysis and inductive process, and we used multiple strategies for rigor. This was doing observation, talking with people in Macola Market. So findings, there's 2 key findings that I wanted to go over. Number 1 was the growing support role of the hospital for pregnant women. And number 2 is the place of delivery and how it's moving from the house to the hospital and evidence that we found for that. So the growing support role of the hospital for the pregnant women. So I talked about the home and how the home is much bigger than just the house, and we found that the hospital has become the same thing. And when women talked about the hospital, it wasn't just the physical space that they were coming to and taking their classes at. Their information came from the hospital. It didn't come from the doctor or the nurse. They didn't delineate who they got their information from. It was just the hospital had a much larger connotation, and it was really interesting to see that. Oops, wrong way. Okay, so another way that we saw growing support was as informational support. Women often stated they got all their pregnancy-related information from the hospital, and they posed all their questions to the hospital. There was support for this, too. A lot of them would say that, you know, their family or their mother or their husband said, oh, go ask the hospital. 15 of 34 interviewed women singularly stated that the hospital or the hospital staff was their only source of information. And 2 quotes that say this well: apart from the hospital, I do not go anywhere for information. And another woman said, normally my main information comes from the nurses, not any outsider. This is women in antenatal class. It also is playing a very large role in moral support. A lot of women felt that it helped build their self-confidence and gave them confidence for the upcoming delivery, especially if it was their first birth. So one woman said, when you come to the hospital, you were taught a lot of things and nothing worries me. If I should stay at home, there's nobody who's going to provide me with any services. I would have had things worry me. And we also found that the midwives are replacing traditional support systems. Everyone listed the hospital as a form of their support, and 11 women listed only the hospital, and another 5 women listed specific midwife or nurse by name as their main support during their pregnancy. And a couple quotes: me and my husband, we are all alone. That is why I came here. I need the advice of the doctors and midwives for my baby and myself. There is no one to teach me. Another woman said, they look after us, teach us how we should carry and comport ourselves. And then another interesting finding was how delivery is moving from the home to the hospital. And this was very consistent, both in the interviewed women and also during the participant observation in the marketplace. The hospital is considered to be the safe place to deliver. And in fact, many women, both in the interviews and in the marketplace, couldn't understand why a woman would go elsewhere or deliver elsewhere. The hospital is the place. And one main reason given for this is that the trained professionals there are able to deal with complications. Better to come to the hospital. If you're at home, who knows what can happen to you? If you come here, they can see the things, and if you are in danger, they can correct them. And I think inherent in one place being the safe place, then something is unsafe. And we heard a lot of kind of unsafe language or negative language referring to traditional methods or home delivery. It was described as archaic, dangerous, and that the house was unsafe. And this woman said it the strongest. Normally in the house, someone will tell you, you go through this, you go through that. But when you come to the hospital, you hear different things. Follow the things in the house, you will lose your baby. So what we're seeing really is a paradigm shift. And we saw this movement that is going from the home to, for lack of a better word, modern. I don't think it's the best word, but couldn't think of a better word. So the physical space, which used to be the home, is now becoming, at least for our women, it's the hospital, it's the clinic. And whereas in the past, the personnel who oversaw the birth was the grandmothers, the mothers, the aunties, the sisters, now that's the nurses, midwives, and doctors. Support was primarily family and elders in the past, and now there are select family members, such as husbands were listed, sisters, aunties, but also there's a very large role for the medical staff, especially the midwives. And then the knowledge transfer is different. Whereas it used to just be the female elders, now it's really the medical staff, primarily the midwives who give the antenatal education classes, and also other women that they interact with during the antenatal classes. So I think inherent in seeing a shift that kind of maybe leaves tradition or is countering tradition, you should expect to see conflict, and we found that. And so the midwives feel that they're being blamed by the elders for disregarding tradition. This came from the focus group. Now you are the next generation. You are not respecting their view. So it caused like a big problem. Yes, it's a very big problem we have in Ghana. But as education, a lot of people now are getting educated, so they are not willing to accept what they are saying. So I think what we are saying is taking effect. Common areas we saw for conflict was cord care, bathing, and head care. Now for head care, there's a tradition in Ghana where you would put hot compresses on the baby's head, and that was believed to help shape the baby's head and give it a more beautiful form. So that's the hot that I'm going to refer to in a second. In the antenatal classes, we are taught the head already has its own shape. You don't need to use hot to press it, you know. But my mom would say, what are you talking about? My grandmother pressed the head. My mom pressed my head, so it's normal. And the woman went on to describe that, you know, there's conflict between her and her mom about the woman deciding not to use the hot. The midwives listed involvement of the husband as key in order to, quote, make it two against one against the grandmother, unquote, once the new parents are home. And so she described that at their hospital, what we do is when the mothers deliver, we insist on teaching her how to bathe the baby before they go home, so that when they wake up in their room, you bathe the baby before the others, whoever comes in. Whoever has appointed to bathe the baby so that by the time they come to visit them in the hospital, this quote gets a little bit confusing. You will have bathed the baby already, so there will be no conflict taking. But it brings a lot of conflict. So I think there's some limitations to this study. We really were basing Greater Accra, and we, for other reasons in the study, we did our sampling for the most part at points of care, so we're accessing women who are accessing care. So I think it's a good study for that population within Greater Accra, but you can't really generalize it at all for rural Ghana. Like I said, the sample, there definitely could be bias in that. But I think we can come to some good conclusions in this. Despite strong cultural beliefs and familial relationships, childbirth is moving out of the home into the medical setting. This paradigm shift is occurring in the support structure to which pregnant women turn to for information and assistance. There are positive consequences of this. You know, in Dr. Wang's slides, Ghana, you know, had a lot of improvements in maternal mortality. And, you know, we could definitely say this might be reflect the changes that the goals that the Ghanaian Ministry of Health has set. There's definitely a decline in potentially harmful traditional practices. And we definitely found improved knowledge of pregnancy issues and potential complications. So this shift could really be good, but I think we have to keep in mind there definitely are some potential negative consequences from it. You're seeing further erosion of family and cultural ties. You're seeing a lot of conflict between them. And we also found a bit of a blind faith in the abilities of the medical institution. And the institutional MMR, there definitely exists, and you know, if you don't have good political power to improve, constantly be improving the roads or give someone an ambulance, then a woman can get to a hospital or try to get to a hospital as much as you can. But if you're not working on delay number three, then you know, a blind faith in the abilities of the medical institution might cause some problems. And implications for the future, just the importance of supporting medical facilities and providers. Incorporate ways to involve the older generations in a new paradigm, maybe make like a grandmother class and how they can help take care of the newborn. And continuing education for the midwives and other skilled providers. This is just a list of everyone that helped participate in this project. But mostly, we just want to thank the women of Accra who spent a lot of time with us. Thank you.
Thank you.